Good morning, church. Happy Sunday. These are your announcements for today, August 16. Sunday school is every Sunday at 9 a.m. August 18 through the 20th is the Baptist Fellowship Community Revival here at UMBC. Dr. Jarvis Hansen, the evangelist, is our guest speaker. He's from Chicago, Illinois, and it is at 6:30 p.m. each night. August 22nd through the 29th, on Saturdays, the men's choir rehearsal is at 10:30 a.m. August 28th, 2026, the Women's Auxiliary Safe Harbor Dinner will be held. August 30th, which is fifth Sunday, the men's choir will be singing. And we've got a time change for New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, pastor's 18th anniversary celebration honoring Reverend David Wayne Brown. Their theme is Hope Anchors the Soul, Hebrews 6:19. It is today, Sunday, August 16th, and the change is to 3 o'clock. It was 2 o'clock, but it's now 3 o'clock. Celebrating 18 years of faithful leadership, a devoted shepherd, a servant leader, anchored in hope. New Hope is located at 701 East Oakland. To God be the glory. And those are our morning announcements. Have a great Sunday.
Good morning. To those of you on the outside, those on the inside, we welcome you to our Sunday morning service where Dr. U.D. Williams is our pastor. And as we've gathered this day for this blessed occasion, we pray that God will continually watch over and bless us. Now, if you know that the Lord is good, say amen. And if you can declare that you are a witness, say amen. Now, we know that there has to be some rain in our lives for us to appreciate the sunshine. But one thing that we can say that through it all, God is good. And that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We're going to ask those that can stand, if you will, as we say our Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. While you are still standing, those that can, we will have our reading. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love us. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, our deacons will bless us with a devotional.
Good morning, church family. God bless you all. Our scripture today is coming. It's a familiar passage. The 100th Psalm we'll be reading. Verses 1 through 5 of the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. And it reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I've just read it to you from the 100th Psalm. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word.
Disciples that you would have us to be, Heavenly Father. Going out into this dying world, Heavenly Father, let know that we serve a true and living God, Heavenly Father, who sits on high and looks down low, Heavenly Father, and watches over us. So we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our lying down last night, Heavenly Father, and early this morning, Heavenly Father. It was your divine finger of love, Heavenly Father, that allowed us to wake up and see yet another day, Heavenly Father, with food on our table, Heavenly Father, a little portion of our health and strength, Heavenly Father. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you've been so good, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we've experienced some situations in this town over the past week, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, trees are down, power is out, water is around, Heavenly Father. But we thank you, Lord, because, Heavenly Father, you kept us safe from all hurt and armed danger, Heavenly Father. You watched over us all night long, Heavenly Father. We just ask right now, Heavenly Father, that we continue to pray for those that are going through this situation, Heavenly Father. We pray for the ones that are out in the city working on this situation, Heavenly Father. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory, Heavenly Father. We know you're able, Heavenly Father. This morning, Heavenly, we pray for the sick and the shut-in, Heavenly Father. We pray for those that don't know you as a partner of their sins, Heavenly Father. We lift you up, Heavenly Father. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we know you're a doctor that's never lost a case, Heavenly Father. You're a lawyer that's never lost a case, Heavenly Father. You will fix it, Lord. You'll fix our mind, fix our hearts, fix our souls, Heavenly Father, as we continue to walk along this journey of life, Heavenly Father. We're pilgrims traveling through this land, Heavenly Father, trying to make heaven our goal, Heavenly Father. And we're just working, Heavenly Father, day by day, holding on to your unchanging hand, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the churches that are opening your name this morning, Heavenly Father. Continue to bless them, Heavenly Father. Bless union this morning, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, rain down your power, Heaven, this morning. Heavenly Father, we say to let the praises go up, Heavenly Father, the blessings come down, Heavenly Father. Bless union this morning, Heavenly Father, in a mighty way. Bless the one that's going to bring the bread of life, Heavenly Father. Touch and crown him with wisdom and knowledge, Heavenly Father, that he will be able to deliver what you would have him to give to us, Heavenly Father. And when the bread of life comes, Heavenly Father, let us be a thirsty and hungry for your word, Heavenly Father. Let's let it resonate in our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls, Heavenly Father. And when when we leave here, Heavenly Father, go with us and stand by us to our next generation, next nation, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory, Heavenly Father. We lift up your name, Heavenly Father. We give you praise, God, that you're worthy this morning, Heavenly Father. You're worthy every day, Heavenly Father. We're just worthy for praise, Heavenly Father. We give you all the honor. We lift you up, Heavenly Father. If it had not been for you, Heavenly Father, we would not be here, Heavenly Father. We just want to honor you. We give you praise, Lord. We lift up your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Good morning, Heavenly Father. You've been so good. We can't say enough, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Jesus, bless us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your Son, Jesus' name, Lord, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Shall we say amen? We'll say amen again. I feel better. So much better. Since I laid my burdens down. It's offering time. It's giving time. And I feel better. From Malachi chapter 3, we start at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. We're asking our financial and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for our tithes and our offering. We pray for the blessings upon those that have in their hearts to give. And we pray that you would bless us to use this for the benefit and uplifting of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to ask both sides if you would stand and follow the directions of the ushers in the back. Face the center aisle.
Prayer time, my brother, my sister. God has been good to us, especially Bloomington Norma. Even in the midst of weather that caused storms and damage to our homes and vehicles and streets and various things, we still give God all the praise and thanksgiving for keeping us and allowing us to just call his name and say thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 As we focus in on prayer this morning, if you can Just focus in on him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Song says, hear my humble cry. Somebody notice, while on others, thou art calling. What does it say? Do not what? Pass. Anybody experienced that this week? A lot of things was going on, but the Lord did not pass us by. He kept us. He sustained us. Many cried out, Lord, help us. We're going through a tornado. Water all over the place, floods, but do not pass us. Do not pass us by. If you know it, can you lift that up? Lift that up with us. Oh, pass. Pass me now. Oh, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others, die, calling, oh, do not pass. Oh, let's call his name. I'm calling. James chapter 5 verse 14 says, when you're sick, call upon the elders that will anoint you with oil and pray upon you. Mr. Sweeney has asked me to anoint him and pray for him and his physical ailment. So I'll pray for him, and then Reverend Johnson will come forth and with our altar call prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I present Brother Sweeney before you right now. You know what his body needs. You know where he needs your healing and your special power. Lord, we're following your word. He says he's sick. He needs a special touch. Not from me, not from the oil, but the power comes from you. So Holy Ghost power, we come and ask that you just touch Mr. Sweeney from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Lord, we just ask that you continue to talk to the doctors, talk to the surgeons, Lord, and allow them to know the right move and the right advice and the right procedures. Lord, we know that all of our help coming from you. So sweet anointing, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. Lord, we ask that you just bless him and keep him and give him healing power according to your will and in your way. Lord, he trusts you. He knows who you are. Though this body may fail, but you will never fail. Keep him and sustain him as we anoint him with your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. Father, we just thanking you this morning for the blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Father, we thanking you this morning for allowing us to be able to open our eyes to see a brand new day that you have made. We thanking you, Father, for the reasonable portion of health and strength that we do have. And we just thanking you for allowing us to be in your presence one more time. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon each and every one that's standing before this altar today. And for those that are in the hearing of this altar, Father, we pray that you will just bless us in the blessings that we are in need of. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us with your fine Holy Ghost. Mold and shape us in the fashion that you would have us to be. That we may be the people that you would have us to be, doing the things that you would have us to do. Father, we thank you this morning for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us all week. We thank you for allowing us to come through the storm and the rain and see the sunshine. It may not be visible, but Father, we can see it in our hearts. We know that you are God and that nothing happens without your permission. And Father, we just ask you for thy blessings upon those that have been affected by the storms this week. We pray that you will lift them up, show them the light. We pray that you will just show them the guide that they need to have. Father, we thanking you and ask for your blessings. We ask for thy blessings upon the one that's bringing the word today, that thou would bless him, increase his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Teach him that he may teach us. And Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts so that we may prepare ourselves to hear the word that is to be preached today. Not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word also. Father, you know what we have need of even before we ask. And we just ask that thou would just bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let's put our hands together. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. The NIV version, NIV version will be on your screen, NIV, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. As we prepare, please be reminded that this week we have revival here at the church, Dr. Jarvis Hansen, New Nazareth Baptist Church in Chicago. He will be here and be our evangelist preacher for the week. Amen. Amen. 6:30 on every evening. Please come on out as your schedule allows you to. But please, if we need a word, we definitely need a word right now. Amen. 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 So invite everybody out to our revival. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, 26, verse 26 through 38. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. If you can help me lift that up as we look at our scripture reading for today, Luke chapter 1, NIV version, NIV version. Simply says, Jesus is the answer. Oh, Jesus, Jesus is the answer of all. Jesus is the answer, oh yes, for the world today. Oh, above him that no other. Oh, Jesus is the way. One more time, Jesus is our whole world today. There's no one, our Jesus is. Oh, Jesus, our whole world. Jabe, if you please stand. Luke chapter 1, NIV, it'd be on your screen there. NIV, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38 reads as follows. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. In the sixth month, we need you to go back. Amen. Move too fast for me. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said unto her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin, seeing I know not a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Today I want to ask a question. Today I want to ask a question. If you let me work on this question, can God? I want to offer our condolences to Pastor Glenn Shelton's family. Some may have heard that he had transitioned. He's the pastor emeritus of the Second Baptist Church in Lincoln, Illinois. We want to make sure that we offer our condolences and prayers for his wife and family. Amen. 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 The question here, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, the question is can God? This question arises in some form or fashion in everyone's life. When we are going through things, when we experience failure, when things are not exactly how we see them to be, and we call on God's name, and things don't happen exactly the way we want or when we want, we ask the question, can God do it? Can God fix it? Can God move it? Can God save the rebel? Yes, God can save the rebel. Can God feed take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed the multitude? Yes, he can. Can if you have faith in Jesus, allow you to walk on water? Yes, yes, he can. Can Jesus travel at least 42 generations and die on Calvary's cross for you and for me, and on Sunday morning rise with power of heaven and earth? Is that, can he do it? Yes. Yes, he can. Can God strengthen the weak? Yes, he can. Can God brighten your day? Yes, he can. And in this text, what I want to remind you as you ask the question, can God do the impossible? Yes. Yes, he can. He can allow the Holy Spirit to come upon Mary and give birth to Jesus. He can do it. Whatever it is, you ask the question, can God take care of my health? Yes, he can. Can God take care of my children? Yes, he can. Can God provide food for me? Yes, he can. Can he protect my house in the midst of the storm? All of my valuables? Yes, he can. And even if there's some damage, God can protect us. Even when there's impossible diagnosis. Even when there's impossible debt, even when it seems like marriage is impossible, good, fruitful relationships impossible, can God do it? Yes. Yes, he can. Our limits are our limits, but God does not have any limits. We put boundaries and limitations on ourselves. But let me remind you, God can do what all? He can do all things. There's nothing that he cannot do. Mary's question, look at verse 34. Mary's question becomes our question. How shall this be? In verse, King James Version, verse 34, then Mary said, after hearing, you heard in our reading, after the word came, that you shall be able to give birth to a child, and who he shall become and who he is. And a simple question was, how shall this be? How is this going to happen? And she said, because I know the process, seeing I know not a man, I know how the process goes for birth and giving child. I have not been a part of this process. How can this be? And look at what God said, verse 35. He said that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee be called the Son of God. We need to be reminded day in and day out that we may not be facing the same situation that Mary was, that she had no idea who she was in the sight of God, that she was supposed to bring and called to bring forth the Son of God. And in the midst of it all, Mary heard the news, and she talked to her God and said, how can this be? And he allowed this to happen by the sweet Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We may not be in that exact situation and exact circumstances, but all of us are in a situation where God is using us
And he's using us to do things that appear to be impossible. You may look at me funny, but somebody thought it was impossible to wake up this morning. Somebody thought it was impossible to be able to go into that job one more time. Somebody thought it was impossible to be nice to somebody who's misused and abused you. Somebody thought that it was impossible to just act right when everything is going wrong. Somebody thought that after some stuff that you've gone through, it would be hard and difficult to get your praise on. But look how God has lifted you up, and you can still praise him in the midst of everything. You may not be exactly like Mary, but God still has his Holy Spirit come in your life and move upon your life and allow things to happen. Am I right about it? The answer to this is to look at Mary's life, but also to look at Scripture. God is not limited by nature. God is not limited by circumstances. God is not limited by human strength. There are no limitations to what God can do. Check out all of the history that God has done. Didn't he tell Abram, get up and go? And Abram went, and everywhere Abram went in Genesis 12, if you look at Abram's story, everywhere that Abram went, God was there blessing Abram. Even when Abram didn't do what was right, even when he made decisions he should not have made, even when he lacked faith, God was there allowing Abram to do exactly what he told him to do, to go, and God allowed him to go. I'm reminded of Moses. Moses had got into some trouble. He was thrown. He was an outcast. He ran away. But there on the backside of the mountain, there was a burning bush that God chose to talk to Moses and have a conversation with Moses and told him, take off the shoes that you have on your feet, because the ground you are standing because of my presence is holy ground. As God talked to him, Moses also was implying that what you're asking me to do is not possible because I have all these handicaps. I'm not a good speaker. I don't have the right connections, and the list keep on going on and on and on. But stop having a pity party about what you don't have. Look at the God you have. Moses even tried it. Our God can do anything. He's not limited by nature. He used the burning bush. He used the fire. He used the bread in miracles. He used the water in miracles. He brought many out of many different circumstances. Just like he's done it for them, he can do it for you. The gospel itself begins with what a man cannot do and what God alone can do. Remember in the gospel of John? Chapter 1, it says that Jesus came incarnate. He was divine, but he came in flesh for you and for me, for the atonement of our sins. We can't change anything, but God changed himself. Jesus Christ changed himself exactly for you and for me, so we can have the right to be atoned for our sins. Can God do it? Can God provide a way? Can God calm the storm? The Bible says yes, he can. Here in our text, Mary stood before a humanly impossible door. A door that said, you can do this. An angel that was a messenger that said, you can do this. And Mary did not respond and say, no, I can't. She just said, God, how you gonna do it? Can I pause right there? Y'all can help me wake up. I know we may have the storm and some floods and still on our mind. I'm going to preach this thing. Is that God is still speaking to us today. And God is doing big things in our lives. And we big and bad enough to tell God, you can't do it. Or this will never happen. But if you look at God, instead of saying, no, that ain't going to happen, and say, how you going to do it? Look at how things will change. Yeah. Look at the problem that you have. Look at your problem and say, God, not that you can't do it, not that you're not doing it because I want you to do it right now, but start asking him the question, how are you going to do it? You need a way made? ask, Lord, how you going to make a way? How are you going to make a way? May I need some help up in here. Is there anybody in here that knows that God is a miracle worker? Is there anybody in here that knows that God can do some things? So if you know that God can do some things, why don't you do what Mary did and stop resisting what God is doing, even in your church, even in your life, and start saying, God, how are you going to do it? Instead of doubting. No man, no method, no explanation could produce a child. In Mary's mind, she knew how giving birth to a child, the process of that would go. So then she forwarded it to God and said, how you gonna do it? When you are up against impossible situations, you need to know, I'm just gonna forward this over to God. And with the little tag on it, the subject, how you gonna do it? In your prayers, stop praying about things that won't move and the things that are not working out and just put the tag on it. God, this is my how you gonna do it prayer. I got some stuff going on in my life. I got some difficult people in my life. I have some difficult circumstances. And all I'm praying right now is how you're going to do it. Not when you're going to do it, but I know you're already God and sovereign. You making a way. You are moving mountains. But I'm just asking how you're going to do it. And I'm waiting for you to do it. Because your method, brothers and sisters, can't do it. You can't explain it. God is the one who do it. Yet God was not asking for Mary's ability to do anything. He was revealing his ability to Mary. He knew that she had not all the tools and processes and had not done the things to get done what he said was going to happen in her life. But her ability was not a question. What was the point was, let me show you what I can do. And that's what we have to look at as we look at Mary's life. And you examine Mary's life, look at what God can do. Yeah, I'm going to touch it on your job. Things, you trying to get the big project, you trying to get the big raise, you trying to get the big this and the big that. Why don't you just step back and watch how God is going to do it? Looking at your personal life and you want big things for your family, you want big things for yourself, just step back and say, I'm going to watch and just ask the question, God, how are you going to do it? Yeah, I'm going to come up here in the church. Sometimes we want to make it happen. We want to speak this. We want to pressure that. We want to move that. How about watching God work? Step back and just say, God, how are you going to do it? Look at our lives. And if we just ask that question like Mary, how shall these things be? Or how are you going to do it? Just look at how things would just change in a divine way. And how God would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings after blessings after blessings. If we stepped out of his way and simply said, God, how are you going to do it? What feels locked to us is never locked to God. What feels impossible to us is not impossible to God. I've never seen lockjaw on a lion. But if you ask Daniel, he can tell you about it. How some lions got lockjaw. He was thrown in a den of lions. And he was thrown there to be their lunch, dinner, and snack. But early in the morning when his name was called, he experienced lockjaw of a lion. The lions could not do what they are designed to do and tear prey apart. But because of God, how did he do it? How did he save Daniel? By locking the lion's jaws. Many of us need to be thrown into some things. We talk about it. We say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But then when it's time to really see God work, we need to really see God work. You need to be like Daniel and go into some dens sometimes and see how he is locked. The lion's jaws. What could have been, but it was nobody but God that kept you and sustained you. God speaks what human wisdom can never predict. If you look at verse 26 and 33, if you look at our verses today and you look at what God is doing, is that God speaks what human wisdom can never predict. It says during this time, verse 26, chapter 1, 26 through 33, and we had that in our reading, but if you look at that, is that God is telling Mary all the things that he is going to do, not might do, but all the things that he's going to do. But Mary even admits she never could fathom that that would happen to her. So that means that in your life, God is going to do some things that you'll never think would ever happen in your life. You just have to be open to what God is doing, because God's day is not your day. Every day is an opportunity for God to show himself who he is and what he can do. Who would have thought that on that day Mary would say, I'm about to have a baby. Yeah, help me somebody. I'm not talking about how you would get a baby. I'm talking about how God's divine plan brought forth the Son of God. Are you getting my point here? What I'm trying to say is, as we look at this, is that our wisdom, our thinking could never, never fathom that on that day Mary is being picked and told that God is going to come upon her through the Holy Spirit and allow her to have a baby. I need to talk about that. It's because as we look at this in our lives and our days, many of us are caught saying, that never happened. If you do it this way, then that'll happen. And if, well, what you need to do is go talk to so-and-so. And what you need to do is have ABC in line. But God can take your ABC in line and throw it out the window and do 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you catch what I said? You in letters and God is in numbers. Let me say that again. You can say, I got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But God is saying, no, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And the number system and a letter system is two completely different systems. You do two different things. And God's system is a completely different system than yours. So you can't say what's going to happen. Only God knows how he's going to do what he's going to do. Doesn't the Bible even say, don't you say, I'll see you tomorrow, talk to you tomorrow, give reverence to God, because only God knows what tomorrow going to bring? Yeah, it's all right to have a plan. Have a plan. But you got to yield and know that God got a plan too. I'm putting some things in place. I'm being just like David. That's what you say, is that I got my slingshot. I got a couple stones just in case I need them. But I'm yielding to see what God is going to do. But just in case I got to take this slingshot, I'm ready to go find me some stones and throw it at some giants. But I'm yielding, not my plan. I'm just ready to use what I have. And if God tell me to use what I have, my slingshot, help me somebody, and my stones, I'm ready to use it. But that's not my plan. My plan is to listen to God and allow God to work things. God speaks. Verse 26-33, you can look at that. God speaks when we can't predict anything. And God works through his way, and he produces what your strength cannot produce. If you look at verse 34-37, he produces what your strength can do. No doctor could do it like God. Doctor got to move something and got to put something in a lab and got to do this and do that. But God just used his word and said, my word, my Holy Spirit going to come on. Are you catching that? He didn't have to go to no laboratory. He didn't have to do no procedure. He just said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came upon her and she gave birth. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? I'm saying is, we cannot fathom all the things that God can do in our lives, and we have to trust God for who he is and what he can do. First thing as we look at this is we need to see that God works in all of our lives, and God speaks what human wisdom cannot speak. If you look at this, God sends Gabriel to Nazareth. He sends in this text, he sends Gabriel. Verse 26-33, he sends Gabriel to Nazareth. The angel Gabriel was sent from God. Where was he sent? He was sent unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Ain't that what the Bible said? And it was God's initiative, not human initiative or human intervention, to reach out and do this task. He knew the time, he knew the place, and this was an unlikely place. They even said, is what good can come out of Nazareth? That's what they later said about Jesus. And a virgin who was designed and ready to get married to a man whose name was Joseph, ordinary people are chosen to do extraordinary things. And can I point this out? We need to be careful on saying that God can't use a certain demographic. God can use white people, black people, Hispanic people, green people, yellow people, all people. God can use old people, middle-aged people, young people, and babies. And I need to say that. We need to get out of that. God can use anybody at any age. Just in case you don't miss that, can y'all say this with me? God can use anybody at any age. Do you know that the Bible never says at 18, then the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody? Or 16 years old, that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody? Or at this age or that age? But many times us, the community of faith, the church, want to think that it's the adult. But I've lived in my life. Do you know that adults make mistakes too? Adults mess stuff up too? People in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s don't get stuff right? Help me somebody. Just like a 12-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old will make mistakes. You make mistakes too. I know there's some people up in here, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. You have left the milk out on the counter, went to work, and came back. Just like the 6-year-old. Don't y'all get quiet on me. Just like the 6-year-old has done the same thing. I got one better. I know you know at least somebody in your house, an adult, you done left the refrigerator door wide open. Come back from work. You grown. Good and grown. Left the refrigerator door wide open all day. Maybe even burned out the engine. You ain't no baby. Come on, somebody. But when it gets to God's business and stuff, we want to categorize who God can use and what age they can use them. You make just as many mistakes. You are immature and some stuff, just like anybody of any every age. And I'm going to let young people know here at Union, I am speaking up for you. You are in your stage of life. If you are K through 12, that means 6 years old to 18, 17, 18 years old. That's what you have been asked to do in our society. Go to school. There's nothing wrong with you being a student and going to school because that's what you do in our society. You are not less than a person because you are a student in school. And you have the same emotions and stuff as somebody older than you. You just have different subjects and matters. You ain't married yet, so you ain't got married problems. Amen. That's why you need to think about it before you do that. You don't have children yet, or shouldn't have children yet. Amen. So you're not going to have children problems. But when you do, the same God that kept you when you was K through 12th grade is the same God that keep you when you have those type of problems when you are in those situations and circumstances. And I'm standing on it. God can use anybody. At any age, he can use any gender, male, female. He can use anybody. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when you're a certain age, then the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God can use anybody at any age. And just like he did in this text with Mary, he used Mary, who was the unlikely people. Mary's lowly station magnifies God's sovereign choice, not because of who she was, but because she was obedient, and she would be the one who would have the right response and say, how you going to do it? How can these things be? Could it be that God is not using us because we resisting him and we got all these questions instead of saying, how you going to do it? Go ahead, God. Do it with your bad self. You did it for them. I know you can do it for me. You worked this out for them. You worked it out for me. Go ahead, God. How you going to do it this time? Like you've done it before. God often chooses the most unexpected things in the most unexpected places to do his best work in our lives. The next thing I just want to touch, I'm almost through. But the next thing is that God works what human strength cannot produce. Is if you look at verse 34 there, Mary said unto him, how shall this be seen? I know not a man, and I've said this over and over again, so this can be in our mind, is that her question is not unbelief. It is an honest recognition of her human limitations. She knew and said it. I can't do it. I'm not able to do it unless it's done a certain way. So how are you going to do it? And part of being a part of God's kingdom and really receiving the blessings of God is really realizing that you are limited and there's only so much that you can do. So in being mature in that and realizing that, You can step back and say, God, I know I can't do it, but you can. How are you going to do it? God works what our strength cannot produce. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That's what it says. He accomplished what no man can accomplish. Therefore also that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Christ is both truly man and truly divine. God can do anything because he is spiritual. He has spiritual power. Elizabeth's conception in old age confirms, as you read that, that God can use anybody at any given time. Somebody in here, I know I'm going to get some funny looks on this. God can do it. You hope he don't. But if you in your 50s, you can give birth. You in your, say, get quiet. 60 years old, you can do it. 70 years old, you can do it. 80 years old, you can do it. 90, you can do it. Now I'm going to help myself get in trouble if it's God's calling and will for you to do it. But do you get, I got some claps on that one. But the point, what I'm saying is, don't limit what God, the doctor said, even you saying, is that your body for a female, if the norm is not for to have babies, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, that's not the norm. But God takes the norm in our lives, throws it out the window, and does and exercise his plan. That's what I'm saying. In our lives, never say, so no, we don't plan on having no baby, but it'll have to be the Lord. That's what my wife tell me every day. We ain't planning on having no baby, but it's going to have to be the angel come on down up in here. Help me somebody. Amen. It's going to have to be the Lord to make that happen. Amen. Amen. And the same thing is in our lives. Is there's some things that we don't plan, and we know that physically by nature and physically by our bodies and things of that nature. But what I'm saying is, don't say that God can't do it. Because he can. He's able. He did it for Mary. He did it for Elizabeth. He keeps on doing impossible things. And yours may not be giving birth at a weird age, but God can do anything. He can do some extraordinary things on your job. He can do extraordinary things at the school. He can do extraordinary things in the community. He can do big things. How many had a tree fall, but it missed your house? Or wasn't as bad as it could have been? Help me somebody. God can do the impossible. He does what he does. So how do we respond to this? Is bring your impossibilities to God. Don't bring what you can do and what you won't. But bring your impossibilities to God. All of us have impossibilities. Confess the limits of your strength. Stop pretending that you can do it all. Stop pretending that you can save yourself. Stop acting like your strength can do it. God can do all things. Confess your limitations, and your strength can only do so much. But then look at this. Stop praying not just general prayers or surface prayers, but pray specifically about the thing you have called impossible. God, this health situation is impossible. This person is impossible. This is impossible. Specifically call it out in name and say, God, I'm giving you my impossible. Can I tell you the most possible thing that God did that many say is impossible? Is that Jesus Christ one day allowed himself to be changed from spirit to human flesh. And many will say that that is impossible, but it's possible with God. Not only did Jesus Christ leave the spiritual and become flesh, but look what he did. He performed miracles while he was in the flesh. Turned water into wine. Somebody said that's impossible, but it's not impossible with God. Not only did he do that, but they crucified Jesus. and they killed him on Calvary's cross. They placed his dead body in the tomb. But because of the power of God, what we thought was impossible, God's power made possible that the dead became alive. And now Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father, being our advocate and speaking up on our behalf. I'm so glad for Jesus that he takes what we think is impossible and make it possible. So the question is, can God? And the answer is yes. God can. Many of us are complaining about what's not happening on your job. But stop asking what God can do for you. What are you doing for God? Many of us are discouraged and complaining about what may be happening in the church. Stop asking what other folk can do and what the church can do for you. What are you doing for God's church and for God's kingdom? Somebody ain't loving you the way you want them to be loved. They ain't bringing you flowers. Have you brought them flowers? They ain't not spending you time and taking you out. Have you taken them out? What I'm saying is we always won't. But when it's time for us to execute and do something, then we step back. God is able to take our impossible and make it possible. But we have to respond like Mary responded. How shall these things be is what the Bible says. Basically, how you gonna do it? So can God? Yes, God can. So look at your circumstances. Look at your situations and say, yes, God can. Yes, God can. Is anybody dealing with some stuff right now? Look at whatever it is and say, yes, God can. I'm looking at this text, God, and I see how you did the impossible for Mary. And my name may not be Mary, but I know you can. Just like you did it for Mary, you could do it for me. Just like you did impossible things in her life, you could do impossible things in my life. Yes, you can. And because of that, I'm going to trust you. Because of that, I'm going to be faithful. Because of that, I'm going to walk in my divine destiny and purpose that you have for me. God is able, brothers and sisters, to keep you and sustain you. This is just one of the many examples in our script, in our Bible, where God does big things in our lives if we would just step out of his way and give it to him and say, how are you going to do it? And you know what? He can. And not only can he will. You just have to trust and wait on him to do what he can, what he can do. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me, singing, oh, how, will you please stand? Love Jesus, oh, how I love my brothers and sisters. As you sing and think about the love of God, that love of God is the can in your life. That is the power. That is the purpose in your life. Can you sing that again? Oh, how I love. Oh, how. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You would like to give your life to Jesus? You can come down. You can raise your hand. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You can come. You do not have a church home. If you would like this to make this your church home, you may come. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? If you know this verse, can you sing it with me? There is a name. There is a name. I love. Oh, I love to sing of his word. Oh, it sounds like music. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Give your life to Jesus. Come connect with the body of believers. Oh, singing. Oh, is there one? How I love Jesus. Oh, is there one? Is there one? Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. say there's not, but there's still room in the kingdom of God. The way you have a righteous relationship with God is through Christ Jesus. You have to say, Jesus Christ, I believe, I confess my sins, and I believe that you died on Calvary's cross. You are the atonement for my sins. You are the way, the truth, and the light. And I believe that, that your sacrifice and your resurrection is real and true for me. And I receive you in my heart. I receive you in my life. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Jesus, I commit my life to you. Then the Bible says, you are saved. Receive him, my brother. Receive him, my sister. If you've already done that and you want to connect, you are more than free to come down and shake my hand or raise your hand. Oh, how I love you. Is there one? Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Amen. We're ready to go, and I wanted to share with you, can God today. There's many things in our lives that we are working with, but especially where it's school, and sometimes we treat people who are younger than us, especially people we would call youth and kids, as if they are different species. They don't have emotions or thoughts, and it just kicks in at a certain age. But I tell you the truth, they become who we teach them to be. They become who we teach them to be. Not just the church, but we have to exemplify Christ in our homes. They become who we teach them to be. And just because they're a certain age, we can't have an age bias and think, okay, yeah, when they get older, they'll do this. They need to be working, not on our terms, but on God's terms for the Lord now. And how do I know I was called at the age of 12? And I knew I was called. And look at me now. I was teaching Sunday school at the age of 14. My oldest son, at the age of 6, jumped up on that organ and said, I've been called to this. He's in the music ministry right now. God is using him. My daddy called at the age of 17. I've seen it, and I know what God can do. Doesn't matter somebody's age, it's the calling of what God can do. And the call to the church is for us to nurture that and not put them in a box. Maybe that's why when they get old enough, they start paying their own bills and doing their own thing, why they don't come to the church, because we just used them on Fifth Sunday. We just asked them to do an Easter speech. Just a Christmas speech. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling the truth. We got to look at ourselves. They are the church. And should be a part of the church every second of what we're doing. How do I know this? Because I was done. My daddy doing devotion. Who was standing right next to him? I was standing next to him. Not on Fifth Sunday, but every Sunday. Reading scripture. I was standing right there next to him. My brother, his oldest son. He's my brother's usher. His oldest son stands right next to him at the door every Sunday. Not on no special Sunday. Raise them up in the Lord. Have them with you and let them see it in your home. Can God do it? Yes, he can. Doesn't matter who somebody is. God can use anybody. Heavenly Father, I'm right now presenting ourselves to you. Ask you to open our hearts to your will and your way. Live life according to what you can do. You can do all things. You can use anybody. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and rule and abide with each and every one of us. Lord, we pray for those who are in the storm. We pray for those who have lost power, those who are cleaning out their homes, cleaning out their yards, various damages and things. Lord, keep them. Give them all the resources they need. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.